Happy Tuesday.
Good morning, everybody. It is the 9th of April, 2024.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's April.
It is April. We haven't done a podcast since the 19th of March.
Right. Yeah. I was looking. That's the last one I have on the desktop.
Wow.
I was like, did we not do one after? I guess we didn't because, yeah, we went on vacation.
So that's like a 20-day wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So hello, everybody.
We're back.
I want to say welcome back to you, but it's not you. We've been gone.
Yeah,
so
we're the
welcome,
ones.
Welcome back here.
That's right. We're the ones that were gone.
Thanks for coming back.
Yeah.
Upon our return.
Right. So we all kind of came back.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's it is a lovely Tuesday morning here in glorious Bixby. We had wonderful rain last night.
Yeah. Lots of thunder and lightning.
We really like rain.
Mm-hmm.
It makes all of our little trees and plants and grass happy.
Yeah, look how green the grass is out there.
It's very green.
Mm-hmm. The trees are budding. We were kind of did a little walk on Sunday, just looking at all the buds and soon coming blossoms. And yeah.
We're north of the equator, so it's all springtime here.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of spring happening.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah.
We like it.
Yeah.
So pretty big week this week.
Yeah.
Birthday-wise,
yes. Yeah, so what did I say, seven?
It's
birthdays this week. There's not a birthday today.
No.
It's like that we know of.
It's an inhale.
Yeah, but they, you know, occasionally we have a week where just there's a birthday every day, but Tuesday. And I know actually my family that I'm of has a lot of birthdays this week as well.
Wow.
Yeah. And so today is my dad who's in heaven. It's his birthday. So there's a birthday today as well.
That's a big birthday.
But as far as this packed birthday week, we want to say happy birthday to Mystery. To Beautiful, to Rio, to Noble, to Pierre, and to Priceless.
Happy birthday,
happy
everyone.
Happy birthday, y'all.
Big week.
Oh my gosh, what a big week. We are so celebrating each of you.
Yes, we are.
It's wonderful.
That's just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, praise God for wonderful people that we're honored to know.
Yeah, yeah, truly.
Yeah.
Truly, truly.
I'd like to say thank you to all the people that have been praying for me.
Yeah.
Through this weekend.
Yeah.
I did have surgery on Thursday and had a lesion removed from, we're going to call it the voice box.
Yeah.
It wasn't my actual vocal cords, but it was the voice box.
Yeah, it was just above it.
Just above the vocal cords. And we knew going in that the doctor, the ENT, was confident that it was benign and not cancer or anything like that. But it was nice to have them do the biopsy and come back negative for dysplasia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not cancer and it's not precancer. It's just I'm calling it my callus from singing heavy metal.
Yeah.
So I sang heavy metal 30 years ago and I've never had an ENT, you know, go down there and check things out and had this little callus there and little lesion, and they took it off. And I have a couple of gravelly voices right today, but that's okay because it's all still healing, and that's a beautiful thing. But we've had wonderful people praying for us, and I just wanted to say thank you. That was really, it blessed me. And obviously, the weekend was full of testimony.
Yes. Yeah. And it's good to hear you this morning. We had a 3-day speaking fast.
We did.
And really, you did, but I didn't get to really talk to you. So we had like a silent retreat here
sort
at Nave, kind of. And I had to figure out I didn't need to whisper and or text you back. I just needed to answer you.
That's right.
And
I got to whisper.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, but which I couldn't do
you
much.
You weren't really,
I was pretty sore. So, but I texted you a lot.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And we kind of had a role reversal, because this might be surprising for most people, but you are actually the chatter, like
the chatterbox?
The chatterbox, yeah. So if we're in the car, if we're in the kitchen, if we're wherever we are, you're the chatterer, and I'm more quiet, and you know, I can go through a whole car ride and not say very much, and so you're always drawing me into conversation. So for those 3 days, that became me. I was talking to you about everything I could think of, and you could not reply.
I could not.
Yeah. And I didn't even try like to get anything, like to have you just have to answer something and that you couldn't discuss with me.
if I can confess, I enjoyed the role reversal. It was fun to watch you, and it was nice to, you know, just kind of be silent for 3 days.
Yeah, I went to this amazing conference that The Cupboard hosted, and I was just so full when I got back, and just really pow, 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 pow to you. So I filled the chatterer role for sure.
I sat and listened.
You did. Thank you, because it was really precious.
It was.
To me.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Well, that was my joy. I'm a quieter person now.
Yeah. For just coming off the fast, yeah.
Okay, so you're wondering how long that's going to last.
No, I love your chatter. Okay. I love that you like to talk to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to grow in the neighborhood of silence but not withhold anything. It's just, it's kind of nice to be silent for a while.
And I can grow, and you know, I'm not the best at what would be considered small talk, and so I'm growing and those things too. Yeah. So
springtime is a good time to grow.
Yes, it is.
Well, we had a solar eclipse yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun, getting to
it was amazing.
Go outside. We were at the corner, and so we went outside with Aida and Adelos, and we had
Zahab.
Zahab was with us, and RC even showed up.
Yeah, and Kat.
We had a marvelous time out there.
And there's a crew at Araba as well, and
crew at
a lot
Araba,
of people at homes.
Fire provided the sunglasses,
yeah.
which were most useful. I had some.
Yeah, thank you, Fire.
The 2017 eclipse I had, but I don't know where I put those. I was holding, this is classic Norval, I was holding onto these glasses for the next solar eclipse and then couldn't find them when the eclipse happened.
Oh my gosh.
Classic. So anyway, Fire prevented, it's not ironic. It's actually purposeful that Fire provided those sunglasses. So we went outside and got to look at the eclipse and see it through those special glasses so that you didn't hurt yourself, which was kind of important. And really was moved by it. Felt like Elohim was speaking. Mm-hmm. And when the eclipse happened in Bixby, we were a few hours north of sort of the path of the eclipse where it would be a total eclipse. Like we had a sliver. And so I'm looking at that sliver and I kept hearing crescent of fire. And so it's another fire reference, high fire. So a crescent of fire was visible in the eclipse when it began to sort of shift at from where we were standing. It shifted and the eclipse began to end. But that last bit was just a perfect thin crescent of fire. And so I really felt that was something Elohim wanted to speak through. And so I know crescent is not a common word in the Bible. It's actually only found in three places. And none of them are compliments. So the crescent in the days of, let's just say, between the judges and Isaiah. So in that, you know, maybe 1500 BC to 700 BC era, that that a crescent was an ornament. It was like a necklace that people wore, and it represented some things that were, you know, might have been good, might have not been good. But I want to grab this word for us in Hebrew. So to do that, we're going to go to Isaiah 3, and this is verses 18 through 19. So in that day, the Lord will take away the finery of the anklets, the headbands, and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, and the scarves. So a lot of that sort of that adornment God took away. And but we wanted to get this word crescent in order to see what its covenant was, because I felt like Elohim wanted to speak through it. And it really was impactful. So this word in Hebrew for crescent is shaharon. And some people say saharon, but I'm going with shaharon. So shaharon, which is Hebrew 77:20, is a noun masculine made from shin, hay, resh, and nun. And so the covenant that the Spirit revealed was this: the flame of revelation that awakens the royal priests. And I felt like God was speaking about a couple of things related to this eclipse. And one was that there was a need in the world for the royal priesthood. And number two, that God is actively awakening the royal priests right now. And that is not new. That's not like we're hearing this for the first time. But knowing that yesterday's eclipse had within it, and I'm not saying this is the only covenant of that eclipse, but this is the one that God spoke to me, was that it was a sign saying, hey, I am awakening the royal priests, and I'm awakening them now actively because they're needed desperately. So, and that's not a surprise, but it's just wonderful to hear again. So from here, the Lord began kind of talking to me about our experience. So it's funny because our grandchildren, you know, Ryder was at school and they're all talking about the eclipse, and he's very excited. So apparently it's going to be pitch black outside and like no light. And then it ends up that there's more light, you know, than what, you know, is talked about. And that is a real thing. So yesterday I definitely experienced both sides of that, you know, where to one degree, you know, it was like, gosh, it's really not that dark. You know, such a sliver of sunlight still provides so much brightness. But also, I kept thinking I had my sunglasses on. And I was like, I took my glasses off and I'm like, wait, I don't have my sunglasses on. It's just actually darker than it was. And I noticed that. I think one of the pictures I was hearing from Elohim was about the darkness and the light. And so here is what God said later in Isaiah. This is Isaiah 42, verse 16. And I had a number of 42s yesterday, like multiple 42s yesterday. And it reminded me of the trumpet that God gave me back in 2016 for Terraforming Legacy, which was the 1942 trumpet that God gave me, silver trumpet. And so here's what God said to Isaiah in Isaiah 42:16. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, in paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. And there were so many sort of kisses and touches from this. We of course were on vacation for a couple of weeks, and we went on a trip. And while we were heading on that trip, I was listening to some old music that was very impactful in my life. The band was called The Second Chapter of Acts. And it was three siblings with this glorious, glorious harmony that just you know, wipes you out. And they have a lot of incredible songs. Obviously, one of them is the Easter song, which many of us were singing just a few weeks ago. But then on the song that I was listening to on our trip was Nightlight, which was, I think that was 1985. It was a while ago, 39, almost 40 years ago. But that song has in its chorus that God would never leave our side. And I see this connection between Isaiah 42:16. These are the things I do, God said. I do not forsake them. I will never leave your side. And just a heart beat, such a move to have God say that, and seeing this picture from the Old Testament of God leading the blind in a way they do not know, turning the darkness before them into light. So this is a word of prophecy that God said through Isaiah. I'm going to do this. This is who I am. So these are the things I do. I do not forsake them. This is talking about the character, the nature of God, that God does not forsake us. God does not leave us. That even when his own people are in darkness, where there's an absence of light, that God will turn the darkness before them into light. And that this is something God has spoken. It's God's word that's not going to be void. It's going to produce fruit. So I'm connecting this with this fire, this flame of revelation that's awakening the royal priests. And the next thing that Elohim said to me was go back to Acts. Now, I'm listening to the second chapter of Acts. So we're going to go to Acts. And I did not go to the second chapter. I went to chapter 26, and these verses, Acts 26, verses 16 through 18, are classic verses that God gave back in the very first book, Terraforming for the Kingdom, 17 years ago. And I'm just going to read this. So this is Jesus speaking to Saul right before he became Paul, the apostle. So Jesus said to Saul, "But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes," like they were blind, just like God said to Isaiah, "so that they may turn from darkness to light." Again, this is like a cross-reference to Isaiah 42, I never saw before now. "And from the," and this translation says power of Satan, which of course it's exousia, which is not power, it's authority. "So from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So now I'm not here trying to shoplift Saul's covenant, right? But instead, I see the covenant of the royal priesthood pictured in the call and covenant that Jesus gave to Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. And so from that picture, here is God saying, and we can see this, we know that this is what God has said in all of our lives. God is sending us to open eyes that they may turn from darkness to light. That there is such a picture in this with the awakening of the royal priests that we're being sent. We're being sent on this rescue, that there is an absence of light in the world, and that God wants to do something about it, that we would become this force of love in the world, that love would be light that reveals the truth, light that rescues many from deception and manipulation and coercion and control and all the things that are leading the world astray right now, that we would be a light in that rescue and that we would be there to love people. And interestingly, where God took me from here was John 3:19. John 3:19, Jesus says these words. This is right after 3:16, of course. Jesus says this, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. And so a strange last verse to give, because it sounds very discouraging, but actually this verse is for today, because it's a picture for us to understand why that solar eclipse had within it the message from heaven, I am coming with fire, flame of revelation to awaken the royal priests, because it's time, but also because the need is so great that the world is absent of light, which is what darkness is. It's absent of light, and that the world needs the sons and daughters of God right now. And not that this is new, but that God is on the move. And if God is on the move, God is on the move through us. Because in Isaiah, God is telling the character, the nature of God is to not forsake. The nature of God is to lead the blind, to turn the darkness before them into light. The commission that Paul received was that Paul was being sent to do these things that God does, that the nature of God is represented in the commission, the calling, the covenant of Paul, and also of all of the royal priests, all of the maturing sons and daughters of God, that we are sent with light, that we may rescue people from this deception in the world. And so instead of discouragement, this is our understanding that we live in a world absence of light, and that the need for the royal priesthood is greater today than yesterday, and that we're being sent as light, so that everywhere we go, the light shines through us. And this is the first key that God gave us 17 years ago. Ask me to shine my light. Ask me to shine my light. And after so many daily breads of asking God to shine the light of Jesus, we became the light, just as Jesus said that we would be the light of the world. And so today we are the light of the world. And the eclipse that gave us that crescent gave us this picture that we would know it's time to be the light.
Yeah. And we've been talking for a while about one of the roles of the priesthood is to keep the fire of the altar stoked, keep that fire going so someone can be drawn, someone can see there's a place to come and discover more and grow and just be belong. You know, there we are created with belonging, the need for belonging in us, and we carry the longing of that, and we were created of community. You know, Elohim is the first community we've ever encountered, and we're created for that need, and to be able to keep a fire going so that someone knows they belong and that there's a place to dwell, there's a place to abide, and that there would be those all across the earth. And you know, with Yahweh hovering over returns in this season, this year, having that fire stoked is so important. So someone knows, it's like Ruth returned also, and she wasn't from the same land that Naomi was, but she was coming to discover that God, the God of everything, and that God separated light and darkness. It was all a part of creation, and there There are treasures. There are things for us to discover as we take the light and the darkness becomes full and comes into the completeness of covenant. And what a great call we've been all given, all of us in that. And
such a blessing.
Yeah, to get to look for each other with that fire, with that flame, to get to look for the image and likeness of Elohim in each other with that is incredible. So I, too, am going to talk about the eclipse, but I'm going to start us with some testimonies. We want to just give a testimony of Whistle, who had surgery the next day after you.
We were praying for him.
Yes, yeah, we know many of you were praying for him as well, and so grateful and abundantly grateful that he's doing well and recovering, and so the Norville boys are back in action.
We really went for it, didn't we?
You did.
My goodness.
Gonna both have surgery, just do it a day apart. So we had some testimonies come into the Tehillah email, and the first is from Dawn in Atlanta. And so she just states that daily bread and Tehillah are becoming a way of life. So she had two things happening, and she described it, and I know everyone's going to relate to this. The sky seemed to be falling, you know, and we've all had those days or those weeks or seasons where it just feels like the sky is falling, and that's what it felt like for her, and she was just drawn to how praise restores hope and strength for each day. And when she really started walking in that, Papa started faithfully sending advocates to help solve problems that she had in each day. And so one of them was related to her house, and it was quite a big thing. And Papa sent like a friend who came and knew exactly what to do, and there was no charge for this. And then the others were just related to Dawn's husband, who has had some illness and was bedridden for 3 months. Just hear this, for 3 months. And then they, through Tehillah, an advocate came for him, and he has just walked for the first time in 3 months. It is a miracle. And when I was reading this, yesterday, it was after I'd been at Rosh Hashanah, so we had our Rosh Hashanah time welcoming the new month, and which is Nisan, or in its origin, it's Aviv. Rio, who stewards this time just in the most wondrous ways, just really felt this call to recount testimonies, and she recounted an incredible one for us. And she was talking about some things that were being spoken to her through Papa's heart for this month, and the battle at the gate, which is about how we dwell with the word of the Lord. Do we let it be living? Do we let it be something that nourishes us and moves us? And so through it, she just really felt like we had this invitation to move the mark from our head to our hearts, like to just move the mark to where the Lord is aiming for in each of us, and that we would be moved from our hearts, not our heads, and that the mark of the sun would just be fully over our hearts, and that we would just, our own knowledge would be removed so the desires of the Lord's heart could be revealed. And that the desire is that he could do what he intends to do, you know, and to make room for that. And then that we would throw the areas of life where we want to know how something's going to turn out to the Son, to Jesus, and that rest comes with that toss, with that throw. And I just was thinking that as I read Dawn's testimony, how much unknown there was in this story, you know, trying to really care for her husband in a place that's got a lot of stuff happening that isn't that conducive, and And she just entered into Tehi La, and the supply line was open. The advocates she needed were there, and miracles abounded. And I just saw her doing that. She threw the things she didn't know how they were going to turn out to the sun, and rest came, and miracles began. And this was exactly what Rio was describing yesterday. And then Fair wrote as well. And very similar, through their covenant of the week, a portion of that was related to advocates, and she just knew that they needed just their declaration of praise. And so as they did, they felt to blow the shofar and literally feel that the supply lines needed were being lifted up, and they're being opened for them, their family, those around them. And they did that, and two things happened within 2 to 3 days. So one was a true place of provision was opened for someone in their family, and then another person in their family that really needed just like some red tape, and things just moved out of the way for, in a place that they knew Papa wanted to provide, the red tape was cut, and a notification came that things were in process and soon to be complete. And then Mer in Cyprus wrote, and she was sharing just about recent podcast and something that you had said about the light has revealed to us that we have choices we can make. And that was so powerful to her that we can make. And she just talked about these choices that she began to make because she saw that she could, you know, that she could make those. And then just how she's been undoing many time knots, and that those have come with many tears, and also releasing and receiving healing and freedom, and just that reminder of the access we have. And I thought of this yesterday too at Rosh Hashanah. Aida was talking about that, how we, you know, for this month, just the Lord reminding her, it's always the tree of life that we have access to in everything. And you know, so it's those places of advocacy, the places where we need to be defended, where we have a need of something. And even if it's like a wound we cause to a person, like, we have access to all we need for that too. And so just getting to see these testimonies that we've been receiving for the past few weeks, and then how that was culminating as we're entering into this new month yesterday, was pretty cool. So I do want to share a bit about the eclipse, and I want to start with a few testimonies I found throughout the world this morning. And it was just, you know, not accidental, because it was Elohim for sure. But I opened up my email just to check the Tehi La email, and I had an email from the New York Times, which I don't subscribe to or anything, never have, but it was an article about the eclipse, and the headline is awesome, and it's AWE and then a dash and then some. So awe is separated, and this was by somebody who covers faith and spirituality. So I'm just going to read what she said. As the moon crossed over the sun yesterday, millions of people from Mazatlan to Maine stopped to gaze upward in a profound experience of awe. The solar eclipse tapped into a primal emotion. It evoked for many a magical moment as awareness of the celestial encompassed the earth. It revealed the close dance between spirituality and science. For a nation pulled apart by every manner of division, the eclipse also offered a moment of unity, however brief. It was a reminder to everyone on the same day and at the same time that life can be magical, that being alive is a collective experience, that there is something astonishing about being part of the greater story of things. And that just really touched me, because this is our daily bread invitation to live like that, to live looking up and considering how that unifies us, how it draws us, and that there is something so magical as unity accessible to us, and that we could be astonished together just by reading the story, just by entering into the story right where we are, and someone else is entering in where they are. And so whatever it is, whatever the Lord uses that day to draw our hearts together, there is something every day that is for the purpose and the goodness of drawing our hearts together. All right, so then there were testimonies from a lot of places. I didn't collect all of those. But in Russellville, Arkansas, around 100 couples gathered to be married under the eclipse. They exchanged vows such as this: "I promise to cherish you like this rarest of events, treasuring each moment as if it were a fleeting or shooting star." I just love that so much. In another place, people pointed to Nogon and Sedek, which is the king and his righteousness, his will, his way, and the passion of the Christ, which were visible on either side of the eclipsed sun. In Manhattan, in Central Park, the crowd whistled and shouted as the moon covered nearly 90% of the sun. Drummers played their instruments. Some people stood in awe in the bike and running paths, angering some cyclists and runners who felt no reason to change their exercise routines. And I thought that was so significant as well. It's been very active related to this eclipse as far as the sessors go. I mean, I think as far as people watching it go, but as far as the sessors go. And so for weeks and weeks, up to even a few months, there's been a real stirring about the eclipse that was unique in that we've had other eclipses, but this one, it seemed to do what Papa's heart designed, that we would stop, we would pause, we would be wrapped in awe for a few moments and feel the weightiness of the unity that we were in across the world in those moments, and choose that in whatever way, you know, as I said, in whatever way we could. So we've just been having a lot stirring, and one of those was a dream that Dakar had. And it was related to the eclipse. And Dakar had just been wanting to agree with the Lord about it. And as assessors were going, there were definitely things being dismantled and understanding there was an alternate plan in this to oppose the plan of the Lord. And so just in essence, Dakar's dream told the story of what it would be like if the priest were not awakened. And so just having that awareness and actually being surrounded by people who were so attentive to this, so aware, was a beautiful thing in and of itself. So as the eclipse was drawing near and things were being stirred, I felt to look up the Hebrew word for eclipse, which I will spell, it's L-I-K-U-I, and it means defect. And so as I looked throughout the Bible, just looking to see where was this used, and it generally was always a warning. You know, there was not a time it was necessarily a good thing, except that the warning was meant to awaken those that needed to be awake to carry out the plan of the Lord instead of succumbing to the plan of the enemy. And so in it, I felt like the enemy's plan was to highlight the defects of the bride. And so in it, I felt like that if the bride was exposed as defective, as with blemish, that the groom would be suspected of deficiency, of being ineffective, and that people would feel permission to look towards other sources or validate those that they're already pursuing instead of Christ, instead of the Lord. And so, you know, that really, I just let that kind of ruminate and the reality of that resonate. But there's always covenant. And so, as I was looking at it, and I wasn't like going to the news, but just, you know, anything, just knowing the Lord was advocating for us in this, that we wouldn't miss anything. And so just little blurbs would come my way, just like that New York Times article this morning. And so one I saw stated that the sun itself would put on a much livelier show. And for this eclipse, the moon's orbit was going to be brought extremely close to Earth, if you were looking, it would make it as if the moon were extremely large. And it just felt like the groom would be revealing, has revealed how much the bride has grown and that she is without defect. That the groom is expressing his delight in her, in us, and just giving to the world a revelation of how much the bride has grown and matured. And, you know, we are in a leap year. And so, you know, what happens in the leap year is that the moon and the sun are reconciled, that up to that point, there's this 11-day lag between them, and the leap year allows the reconciliation of the bride and the groom. And I've long believed that through our prayers, through our just attention and affection in this area, through understanding the times and the signs and the seasons, that we can keep that reconciliation permanent. You know, that we could do that, and we would come into reconciliation of timelessness, and we would live that way. One description from yesterday was that time stood still for, you know, for just a brief amount of time. And I know for us, we were at the corner, and like Sahab had, and he had a watch going, and he was keeping us updated, you know, so that we didn't miss a thing. This event was really stirring him, and so he was making sure we were seeing each phase of it, and it was just pretty amazing. So to have that revelation being made, you know, this was so much about the bride, and then as you were sharing, you know, that growth that still needs to happen, there's light for it. There's, you know, the flame for it. And so another significant thing is that the eclipse was held in the sky between two tabernacles. So there were the two planets I already mentioned, but also between two tabernacles, the crowned lamb, which represents glory from humiliation. So being completely delivered from shame, you know, being seen without blemish. And one of the things that Elohim just has hovered within this is the enemy only has his way in this if we are actively looking for each other's defects. If we're looking for that instead of the redemption, instead of the reconciliation, instead of the restoration, then the enemy has room in it. But when we're curious and we're looking for Elohim in each other, we're looking for that likeness and image, we're looking for who we've become instead of who we were, it changes everything. And so the word for the in Hebrew for the crown lamb is found in John 1:29, which says, "Behold the Lamb of God." So through this eclipse, we were being invited to behold the Lamb of God. And then on the other side was the Redeemer, or the required price paid. This sign tells of the price paid for the harvest. And I was really struck by that because our covenant for last week was scales and all about how his redemption outweighs all of our things, every single thing. And the Lord showed some remarkable things on that, but it's not for today. So another thing I was really struck by, I may have already said it, but was that the eclipse was happening on Rosh Hashanah. And so this first month, well, actually, I'm going to come back to that because I want to share from where Zahab was so stirred, because he had written and he's like, I'm just seeing these things. And it was just so beautiful. And so I know what was in the heart of the Lord. And so he kept hearing total eclipse of the heart as he considered this. And what would that mean in covenant? What would it mean? Like a regenerative hovering shadow over creation. And man, to me, that just felt like back to creation, hovering over that water, hovering over what had been chaos and bringing beauty from it. And he said, maybe the light of the sun, the groom, casting the shadow of the moon, the bride, on the earth. I'm getting a picture of a dancing couple silhouette being seen through a window. And so then he sent the lyrics of Total Eclipse of the Heart. And he had not highlighted anything in it, but I went just to his links, and it had Turn Around highlighted. That's part of the song, Turn Around. And it said numerous times throughout. And it just felt like Yahweh reminding us the hovering over returns is real and true. And just in these testimonies and what was being shared in Rosh Hashanah, that everything we need for the return is here. We have access to that. One of the lines, this line was also highlighted in addition to Turn Around, and it was, every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by. And then it says, turn around. And I think there's many people that might feel like that in their life, but the Lord just says, turn around and look at me and see what I have yet for you. There are the days ahead. And then the other part that was highlighted said, every now and then I get a little bit terrified, but then I see the look in your eyes. And I feel like that was just something so stirred in Zahab, like the Lord wanted us to see the look in their eyes. Elohim wanted us to look deep and see what is real and true there. And so just incredible, incredible things. And in that, I had this experience on vacation. We really had it together, but I had new shoes that I took, and they're real cute, and they were not very good for walking. And so I ended up with some wounds on my feet because the shoes were like this mesh material. Super cute, I promise. They were super cute, but not practical. And so I ended up with these cuts on my feet. And so I just kept asking our butler at the resort we were at for Band-Aids. And then one day he said, hey, could I have the doctor come look at your feet? Because it was a bit gnarly, like one of the cuts in particular. And so he had the doctor come, and the doctor came and gave me this cream, and we were at breakfast, and he just, you know, looking and gives me this cream, and he leaves. And then a few minutes later, he comes back in, and I was still kind of turned how I had been for him to look at my feet. And he got down on his knees and said, can I wash your feet? And we were like, look at each other, and said, yes. And he washed my feet, and he washed my wounds and took care of them. And it just felt like that was such a picture of when we're not looking for the defect, we're looking for how we can be the aid, the advocate for each other's healing in all of this. So just connected to your awakening of the priests, another significant thing of this day of the eclipse also being Nisan 1 or Aviv 1 is this time period is mentioned several times in the Old Testament, and one is in Ezra 7. And what we see there is that Ezra has been asked, you know, invited, released, however you would want to look at it, to return to Jerusalem. And so King, I'm just going to say Xerxes, has called him forth and says, I know this is important that you go back, and I want you to gather as many of the priests as you can. And he doesn't just send him, he sends him with everything that is needed to restore the treasury of the temple. So vessels, gold, silver, all of these things he sends with Ezra and the priests that go with him. And they set out to return to Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, which is the first of Nisan or Aviv. And so Ezra sets out on this journey. Also, the same happened with Nehemiah. It was on the first day of this month that Nehemiah was released to go and bring completion to the restoration. And so there's something really important in this season we're coming into. And, you know, if we want to do that, if you would just give us a sign. And we had, this was one of the sweetest moments yesterday. Zahab was so carrying the picture that this was about the bride and the groom. And so, you know, in an eclipse, you would see the ring, you would just see the ring of light around. And of course, we didn't have the total eclipse, but we only had like 3%, but it, you know, it gives you a lot of light. And he really wanted to see the ring. And so as the, so we realize, you know, we're not going to see it exactly that way on the sun, but as the eclipse starts waning, this halo forms around the sun. And it was a ring. And, you know, just, I mean, seeing how precious that was to Zahab to see the ring and then it being there, like the Lord answering that, what probably felt like a simple but the sweetest request from Zahab. And then there it was, and it had, you know, a rainbow, you know, not the full spectrum. It had several colors, and it was this huge ring, and we were just standing under the ring, you know, of the bride and groom. And, oh, it was just amazing. So back to this. So Ezra sets out, and understand that the amount they were given to take back was, in our day, it would be $1 million. Like, that's what it would have equated to, all this silver and gold and the articles that were meant for the temple. And here's this king who isn't worshiping the Lord, doesn't know God in that personal way, but he knows him in a way that he has watched these people still hold fast to the ways of the Lord. And Ezra, in particular, he was known that he prepared himself for return. He didn't just wait, oh, one day we're going to, and it'll be this surprise. He continuously prepared himself for this return by letting the word of God be living in him, by studying it, by scribing it, by testifying to it. And he said several times throughout the journey, he would stop, he would pause to praise and say, the hand of God is upon me. And because they were completely protected, and so they had all of these resources, and the king even said, hey, if you get there and there's more that you need, you have access. You have access to whatever you need. I want you to be able to do the will of your God for this temple. You know, and why does a foreign king do that? Except God can do what is in his heart. And we get to make room for that. We get to carry the flame for that. And so Ezra, knowing, you know, this precept that when they traveled together, when they went as community, they were safe from bandits and robbers. And so he dispersed the treasures throughout the priest, the leaders of the priest, so they could carry it together. And then when they got there, and they were carrying the freewill offering of the people, they were carrying everything to reestablish the temple in such fullness, including money to buy oxen and lamb and all of that that they would use for sacrifice. And so this king, this foreign king, is like, I want you to have all of that back in place. And that's what return does. And that's what this season reminds us of, is when Yahweh hovers over return, you are given such abundance for that return, such abundance. And so when they arrived in Jerusalem, they were able to deliver to their God all the articles that were entrusted to them for worship to be restored. And the king said, whatever the God of heaven has prescribed, let it be done with diligence for the temple of God of heaven to be restored. And just that's the heart of our God for the bride and the groom, for the temple to be restored, for there to be the wedding chamber, for there to be the place of praise, that we would not live indifferent to who Christ is, that we would live in awareness and awe and understanding, that we would pause each day and look for the coming of the King, coming into our circumstances, coming into our lives, coming into the lives of someone we're praying for, coming into the fields that we tend. And what a remarkable trust that has been placed in us. It's just really remarkable.
I'm so glad that you start these the podcast with the Tehillah praise testimonies. Mm. Because it's just been on my heart, and I think it's a really good moment to just say that the power of praise is I think had changed many of our lives over the last 6 months, and
yeah,
the way that we see how, you know, the miracles that Jesus did that seemed so far away from us are so close now that we see how Jesus praised God. Mm-hmm. When Jesus did, it changed everything.
Yeah, and just realizing who we are in new ways, to allow ourselves to be moved. Saturday was BPSO, and BPSO looks a little different right now, in that what we're rebuilding expression, rebuilding creativity, and revealing our heart for the bride and the groom and the wedding through it. And so each time now, different people are taking us through just an expression that matters greatly to them. And so we got to do some ICUs for the elderly in our community, and Fragrance took us through painting. And one of the options we had to paint was a candle. And Aida and I were talking about this yesterday. I can't put to words how really incredible this was, that we had a new way we were trusted with light and to reveal light. And just, we had this real practical application of it that was incredible. And then Yesha just shared her heart about movement and worship. And, you know, it made me think of when we brush our teeth, something changes in China. And that she was describing it like that. We don't know when we move, when we allow ourselves to be moved in praise, where it impacts in the world, what life it impacts, just because we move our hands or our body is swaying or we're spinning or dancing and or falling to the floor, whatever it is, or taking up a streamer or a shawl, that because we made that choice, because we said that yes and wanted it to be real, that we are moved by God, that somewhere someone is affected by that. And that's just when we get to reveal that we're creating a passage. This was a dynamic from yesterday as well. There were four planets aligned, and they were aligned the same as the path of the eclipse. So if you saw the map of the eclipse and all the places across these planets were in that same line. And so it was Ma'adim, Shabbat, Rahav, and Nogon. And with their meanings, it told the story that what we make passage to is rest, which allows us to create a new reality, which is the passion of the Christ, that through rest we would create with Christ and change the reality of the world. Yeah.
Well, amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we love you all.
We do.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Yes, we will be live streaming tonight. And see you there.